Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've chosen to worship with us this morning, whether you're here week in and week out or whether you've just recently joined us, even if it's your first visit. We're pleased that you're here with us. Those of us who are here all the time, we want to extend a hand of welcome to you. And if we don't do that quickly enough, you come find us and you introduce yourself to us because we want to know you. We hope you'll find a home here with us. Now, if you look in your bulletin, you'll find an insert, in fact, a couple of inserts, that give you a lot of information about what God is doing in and through this congregation. I'm going to lift up just a few of those, but they're all important. I hope you'll read them all. Next Saturday, March 9th, is our great day of service. There are lots of projects involved in this. You can either fill out the insert you'll find in your bulletin. You can read a little bit more about it there. Or there is a table in Reed Hall. You can go and visit with the folks there, learn more about the great day of service, find something that you would like to be involved in, and sign up. Next Saturday, the check-in will be at 8 a.m. in McWhorter Hall. There will be a short introduction to the day. Folks will be sent out to serve, and we're expecting it to culminate around noon. Also, the youth want to thank you for your support of their 30-hour famine. This gave our teenagers a chance to experience just a taste, just a little bit of what millions of people around the world experience every day in terms of hunger. And we appreciate that support. If you didn't get a chance to make a donation, you'll be glad to know it's not too late. There is a table out in Reed Hall. If you would like to continue to support the hunger efforts that our young people are supporting, you can do that. Also, the Gourmet Market pre-orders are due by Tuesday, March 5th. You can read the details about that in your bulletin. God is light. And in God, there is no darkness at all. Today, let us watch for the light and follow wherever it leads us.
God, call us together as you did those so long ago. Let us remember, confess, celebrate, and embody
the ways you have blessed to be a blessing.
Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Ye that truly do and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorrow for these misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy great mercy hast promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to thee, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words the Scriptures say to all that truly turn to the Lord. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The peace of Christ be with you. Now let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. The word of God for the people of God.
For those of us who grew up in the southeastern United States, we know a little something about blessing, don't we? That phrase comes up fairly frequently. And sometimes it is a genuine word of blessing. I know when I used to fall and hurt myself, my mother would hold me and comfort me, and she would say, "Bless his little heart." Or sometimes she would say, "Bless his little bones." Go figure, I don't know where she came up with that one. On the other hand, sometimes this blessing was actually a kind of curse in disguise. She is just as homely as a mud fence, bless her heart. That boy is just as dumb as a bag of rocks, bless his little heart. It was almost as if you added bless their heart, it kind of mitigated the criticism. It somehow softened the critique. Now, what you just heard from Jesus was a whole series of blessings. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that they are not like the blessings my mother gave me when she held me, bless his little bones. No, Jesus does that, mind you, but when he does that, it's in a completely different setting. When he breathes on his followers, he's offering them his spirit. He's giving them his blessing. He is not blessing them. He is describing those who are blessed. And the second thing is, what he's doing might appear to be fairly close to that second kind of blessing. Because you see, it offers a very clear critique of the values of the culture surrounding them. Okay, let's take it from the top. Jesus pulls away from the crowd. He gathers around him only his closest companions. And then he sits. Now, in our day and time, if you think you have something important to say, for example, if you're preaching, you stand up. Not so in Jesus' day. For a rabbi, if the rabbi had something important to say, the rabbi would sit down. That meant that what followed was of great importance. So Jesus wasn't so much blessing as he was, as it says in the scripture, teaching. He's teaching his disciples what it looks like when you live in the kingdom of heaven. Now, for Jesus, the kingdom of heaven was not some place you went when you died some years from now. The kingdom of heaven was what God was doing right here and now at this time. And so Jesus starts with this series of blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, it's only blessed are the poor. Did Matthew soften it? I don't think so. I think he broadened it. You see, the poor, or the poor in spirit, are people who have to depend upon God for everything. The poor because they don't have anybody else to depend on. The poor don't have highly paid lobbyists to look after their interests. The poor don't have lots of money to contribute to campaigns. They don't have anybody but God to depend on. But then there are those who are poor in spirit who, even though they may have material things, choose to be completely dependent upon God. I think Matthew was broadening that category to include them. Blessed are those who mourn. I know many of you have mourned, perhaps all of you at one time or another. Did you feel blessed? Most people don't. But then he follows it with, you shall be comforted. You won't mourn by yourself. Those of you who have mourned within a congregation, didn't you feel the love surround you and the people gather around you to support you? And that's not all. Even if you don't have the people, God is there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here again, Luke says, the hungry. He just cuts it off there. But you see, righteousness is not just doing good or feeling good about what we're doing. Righteousness is having a right relationship with God and our neighbor. It's what John Wesley called social holiness. We tend to divide our prayer life and our life of activism for justice. Wesley didn't do that, and neither did Jesus. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you go out and try to influence the world in a way that will make it different, more loving. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Go tell that to somebody who's running for public office. Yeah, just be meek. You'll inherit the earth. They won't believe you. We don't believe that, do we? No, we think you need to be appropriately assertive, at least, maybe even a little bit aggressive. Get your point across. I think what Jesus was talking about here is that some of the people who make the greatest changes in the world are not those who have gotten to their position through assertiveness and aggressiveness. I mean, look at what's happening in Washington right now. But they are those people who day by day, in a humble way, go about doing what God has called them to do, and they make a difference in the lives of people that lasts the rest of their lives and helps them make a difference in the lives of others. The meek and the life they live is a criticism of those of us who think we get by through aggression. If you live this kind of life, Jesus says, expect trouble. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. If you want a life filled with conflict, go be a peacemaker. I'll guarantee you, you are constantly in the middle between warring factions, trying to reconcile them, and you are in the middle of conflict constantly. If we take seriously what St. Paul said, God was in Christ reconciling the world to God's self and giving us the ministry of reconciliation. If you're going to be a peacemaker, both sides are going to be mad at you. Jesus recognized that. So he added that if you live this kind of life, expect persecution. Expect it because that's what people did to the prophets. When the prophets lived a life that offered a clear critique of the world around them and the values around them, people didn't like them very much. Kings didn't like them very much. People in power didn't much care for what they had to say. And then Jesus narrows it to say, you're blessed when you're persecuted because you're doing what I told you to do. Expect it, but when you do that, you will be blessed because you will be a part of what God is doing in the world, not just what a bunch of human beings are doing in the world. Now, in various translations, that word blessed is handled different ways. Now, bless or blessed is our traditional translation, but some of the modern translations use happy. A number of years ago, a friend and for many years member of this conference, Elliot Wright, wrote a book called Holy Company. He translated the Beatitudes, holy are they, not blessed, holy. And under each category, he gave the life story of a number of different people whose lives exhibited that particular characteristic that Jesus was talking about. I think Eliot got it right. This is not blessing in the sense that either my mother used it or we use it to criticize others. Happy is too weak a word. Holy is a strong word. Now, we don't use it much because it gets associated with holier than thou. To be holy is to reflect the loving light of Christ in the world. That's what we say we're supposed to be doing, isn't it? That's what holy is. And Jesus is giving his closest companions a glimpse of what it looks like if you're going to be holy. All of those characteristics listed in the Beatitudes are aspects of doing what God wants us to do in the world and reflecting the love of Christ in the world. What he's doing, he's giving a description of a servant. Now, during Lent, we talk about service, right? We've been going through all the membership vows, and during Lent, we're talking about service. Jesus says, you want to be great? Be a servant. Want to be greatest of all? Be the servant of all. Here, he's giving a clear description of how servants behave. Servants are expected to be meek, not to assert themselves, sometimes even invisible. Servants are expected to want the right relationship. Those who wait on table, and when something goes wrong, who gets yelled at if it goes wrong between the kitchen and the table? It's the servant, right? Jesus, I think, is giving a description of himself and of those who would choose to follow him, us, in other words. He's not talking about other people, what they've done or what they might do. He's talking about us, what we do, what we can do, who we can be. In a few minutes, you're going to come to the table and you're going to be served. And those of us who will be up here serving you are hoping that in some small way we are embodying what Jesus talked about. Holy are those who are poor in spirit. Holy are those who mourn. Holy are those who hunger and thirst for those right relationships with God and with our neighbor. Holy are those who serve. Now, every week during this time, we focus on a particular way of serving. And today, and this Wednesday, we have representatives from Project Transformation here with us. Now, Project Transformation is fairly new to Tennessee, but it's not new to the United Methodist Church. But last summer, it began here, and it allows young adults and others of us to walk into places we might never go otherwise, underserved areas, churches, neighborhoods, and to serve there. What Project Transformation does for those who take part is to help cultivate those very characteristics Jesus was talking about in the Beatitudes, to form us and shape us into that kind of person, that kind of servant. If you want to know more, representatives will be out here after the service. Go talk to them. They'll be here Wednesday night as well. Come listen to what they have to say. I know there are members of this congregation who thought they were just volunteering to help. And through Project Transformation, their lives were transformed. And they came and they told me about it. That's what Jesus is talking about. We're not just called to be blessed. Bless our little hearts. We're called to be holy. And I believe with God's help and a willingness to serve, we can be. Thanks be to God. One of the helps we have is our tradition. And one of the parts of our tradition that's most helpful are those creeds and affirmations of faith that remind us of who we are and why we do what we do. So let me invite you to turn to number 881 in your hymnal. Stand as you're able and join with us in one of the most historic creeds that Christians say together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. We are grateful that God has called us together for worship on this day. If you are new to our community, please join us in Reed Hall through the doors to your right for a time of fellowship after the service. And if this is your first time to West End, we invite you to drop by the Bread for the Journey table, where we have a small gift we'd like to share with you, and you can find more information about the many ministries that we have to offer here at West End. If you're a college student, either undergraduate or graduate, please also meet in Reed Hall after the service. Nancy Hawthorne will be there to meet you, and they have a time of fellowship and a meal together. It's just a great way to connect with other people who are going to school and all that that life brings. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. One side is for any prayer requests that you would like to share, and the reverse side is for any comments or concerns that you would like to share with our staff or lay leadership. You can drop that card in the offering plate in just a moment. If the attendance pad has not yet been passed, please do so now. And then when it reaches the end of the row, pass it back down the row and take a moment to note who is in worship with you this morning. We are so abundantly blessed. And with this assurance, we now offer our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our God. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to Thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Thy glorious name, evermore praising Thee and saying, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of Thy tender mercy didst give Thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by the one offering of Himself a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and didst institute and in His holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of His precious death until His coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech Thee, and bless and sanctify with Thy word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to Thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of His passion, death, and resurrection, may be partakers of the divine nature through Him, who in the same night that He was betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, broke the bread and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And when the supper was over, He took the cup, and after giving thanks, gave it to His disciples, saying, "Drink ye all of this. This is the blood of a new covenant in My blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me."
Will you join me in prayer? O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we, Thy humble servants, desire Thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice and praise of thanksgiving. Most humbly beseeching Thee to grant that, by merits and death of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in His blood, we and Thy whole Church may obtain forgiveness of sins and all other benefits of His passion. And here we offer and present unto Thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto Thee. Humbly beseeching Thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be filled with Thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto Thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech Thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom, with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is given unto Thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. We are one loaf. Although we are many, we are one body. In the midst of our massive differences, on this day we come together in unity to share the body of Christ broken for us. And we gather to remember by sharing in the cup of salvation offered for us. Join me in our prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this Thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited to come. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you are welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. You'll come by way of the center aisle, kneel at the chancel rail. When you're ready to be served, simply extend your hand. You'll receive the bread first and then the cup. You're welcome to remain in an attitude of prayer until you're ready to go back to your seat. And when you do, we ask that you go back by the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew, please catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there. We also take an offering at each of our communion services, and this month our offering will go to support our ongoing participation in the Methodist Habitat Build. We're doing that again this year, gathering with other United Methodists around the city to provide a home for someone who otherwise would not have one. If you'd like to contribute to that, there are two offering plates right here by the front pews, and you're welcome to leave your offering there as you come. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord. Almighty and most merciful God, from thee comes every good and perfect gift. We give thee praise and thanks for all thy mercies. Thy goodness has created us. Thy bounty has sustained us. Thy discipline has chastened us. Thy patience has borne with us. Thy love has redeemed us. Give us a heart to love and serve thee, and enable us to show our thankfulness for all thy goodness and mercy by giving up ourselves to thy service and cheerfully submitting in all things to thy blessed will, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now I send you forth in peace to serve, with God being your vision, Christ being your example, and the Holy Spirit empowering us all to share Christ's loving light with all. Go in peace.